Proverbs 24. We're continuing in this series called Living the Transformed Life, and we're looking at the sin of laziness and how we are to move from laziness to diligence. And the book of Proverbs speaks a lot about this. The book of Proverbs describes the life of the lazy man. So we're going to read just a small section of this life of the lazy man, the sluggard. Proverbs 24, starting with verse 30. Remember, this is God's eternal word. I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. We'll stop the reading of God's word there in Proverbs. And then I'm going to read you one verse from Romans. Romans 12, verse 11. It says this, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." Never be lacking in zeal. Another way of saying that is never be lazy in diligence. Some translations say it. Never be lazy in diligence, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. That's the word of God. Laziness is a disease. And it seems to be a disease that is growing minute by minute in our own culture and in our own lives. With a hunger for a life of ease, our days get sucked away with TV and video games and surfing the web. We're just simply not doing what we ought to be doing. I know I have to fight laziness in my own life. It's as if laziness is built into me and I have to fight against it constantly. When I wake up in the morning, my mind automatically runs through the different scenarios in my mind trying to figure out how I could alter my day so that I could just stay in bed just a little bit longer. I don't really need to shower today. I just showered yesterday. So that gives me 10 more minutes. And then if I just grab an apple, I don't have to eat breakfast. That saves me 5 minutes. So I think about that right as soon as I wake up. It's as if it's built into me. God talks a lot about laziness in the Bible, particularly in the book of Proverbs. He describes what laziness looks like and what its consequences are. Laziness is not just seen as a bad habit, but it's a sin that causes great destruction and devastation. The world, though, has a very different perspective on laziness, a perspective that we can often buy into. Oftentimes, laziness is perceived as an admirable trait, as long as you can get away with it. We brag about how good we are at getting out of work or how little we can do at work without actually getting fired. I have a friend who worked for the city where he lived with two other guys just during high school, for the summers during high school. And he told me that the three of them, one day they were sent out to paint fire hydrants, and the three of them spent 8 hours painting one normal fire hydrant. And it was something to boast about. Look at what we did. We admire people who can take advantage of the system, who can still get paid but don't actually have to work that hard. Or we brag about how little we studied for the test, or how many classes we can skip while still passing, how little work I can do while still pass my class. Back in college, my brother and my cousin had a contest to see who could stay out of the library the longest during college. A contest to see who could get by with the least amount of work. We admire people who are lazy, who can just get by with the bare minimum. It's often something to be admired. Or if the world does see laziness as a problem that we need to overcome, we don't recognize it as a sin that we strive to put off, but it's often described as a neurological genetic problem. Time magazine wrote an article about a study that showed that lazy rats breed with other lazy rats. And energetic rats breed with other energetic rats. And so laziness is really just passed down from generation to generation. It's a genetic problem. And we could just solve genetic problems with some medication. Another man wrote a book called The Myth of Laziness. And he says, there's no such thing as laziness, but there is inactivity that's caused by neurodevelopmental dysfunctions. And these neurodevelopmental dysfunctions interfere with productivity. And so all of a sudden we become victims of nature, victims of our own bodies, victims of our environment, rather than really dealing with this as a heart issue, a sin issue. And so as we look at laziness, I want to look at what the Bible says about it. What is it? What does it look like? What causes it? And then we'll look at how we can move from laziness to diligence. As God's people transformed by the Holy Spirit, we are called to put off laziness, to be diligent in our work. Not just for the sake of being diligent, to point to ourselves, to look at what we've done, but for the sake of the kingdom of Christ and for His glory, to fervently serve the Lord. We are to put off laziness and be diligent serving the Lord. So let's walk down this path from laziness to diligence. What is laziness? What is laziness? Very simply, and maybe this isn't an all-encompassing definition, but laziness is simply not doing what you ought to be doing. Not doing what you ought to be doing. As I said earlier, the book of Proverbs speaks a lot about laziness. It talks a lot about the sluggard. I love the word sluggard. It's like he's a slug, just making his way through life, not really doing much, just leaving a slimy trail behind him. A sluggard. The book talks a lot about the sluggard. All throughout this book, we find characteristics, little snapshots, little pictures of what this sluggard's life is like. And I want to just skim the book just to get a sense of the sluggard. And there are three primary characteristics that I want to point out to you that characterize the life of the sluggard. Perhaps the most common characteristic of the sluggard here in Proverbs is that he lives in the moment without considering the future. He lives in the moment without considering the future. He makes decisions based on what's easy or what's comfortable at the moment, but he doesn't think about the ramifications that his actions have for the future. Proverbs 6, verses 6 to 11 says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." So first, the sluggard is told to go to the ant and learn. What's he supposed to learn from the ant? Well, ants know that they have to store up food during the summer and the winter because it's not going to be available, or the summer and the harvest because it's not going to be available during the winter. The sluggard doesn't think this way. He doesn't consider the future. While food is available during the summer and the harvest, he relaxes, he enjoys it, he feasts, but he doesn't consider that he's going to run out of food in the winter. Be like the ant. Don't just enjoy the moment, but think about the future. That same proverb then continues, and it says, "How long will you lie there, you sluggard? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man." The sluggard, instead of storing up food for the winter, he sleeps in. He takes another extended break. It's easy, it's comfortable to sleep and rest. He doesn't realize that his inactivity right now has drastic ramifications for the future. He's going to run out of food. Another proverb, Proverbs 24, says, "I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds and the stone wall was in ruins." The sluggard doesn't maintain his field daily, and so now it's a wreck. It's worthless. It's been destroyed. The sluggard didn't consider, if I don't maintain my field, then it's going to be ruined. He doesn't think that way. No, he just does what he feels like doing at the moment. instead of considering the future. And so because of that, his investment, his livelihood, the only way of feeding his family is now lost. It's ruined. It's covered in weeds. The walls are broken down. So this primary characteristic of a sluggard is that he doesn't consider the future. He lives in the present, making decisions based on what he feels like doing at the moment. Is this how you live your life? Do you live in the present day doing what you feel like doing without really thinking about the days ahead or the months ahead or the years ahead? Present-day slacker, or present-day sluggard, slacks off at work. He goes to work, yeah, but he's often late. Talks a lot on the phone at work. He messes around there on Facebook all the time throughout the day, talking about how mean his boss is, seeing how little he can do without losing his job. He asks to leave early all the time. He just tries to get by with the bare minimum. He doesn't realize that the way he works now is going to have ramifications on what he's doing in 5 or 10 or 25 years. Present-day sluggard avoids conflict or avoids talking about real issues. When issues or conflicts arise in your marriage or any other relationships, it's easier to just avoid it, to retreat to yourself, to pretend that it doesn't exist. The sluggard doesn't realize that if it's not dealt with now, day by day, then it's going to grow and grow, and it's going to be harder to confront it. The issue is going to become bigger and bigger, and it's going to be harder to work through. And before you know it, that relationship is covered in weeds, and the wall is broken down. It's a disaster. A present-day sluggard spends money like it's not going to run out. So when he comes to the end of the month, his bank account's empty, and he has to borrow or ask for help to pay his bills. A sluggard buys things that he can't afford. Too big a house, too nice a car, too many toys. He buys Christmas presents that he can't afford. Sluggard goes out to eat all the time, and he runs out of money. Sluggard doesn't save for the future. A sluggard lives paycheck to paycheck, not thinking about the future. A sluggard uses pornography or women because it feels good in the moment, but he doesn't consider the future, the ramifications of his sin, how he wrecks his own life and the life of many others. A sluggard uses drugs or alcohol because it's a nice relief for the moment, but he doesn't think about how that's going to impact his life in the years to come. A sluggard lets TV or video games suck away hours of his day. Sluggard is up late at night and sleeps in and skips classes in the morning regularly. A sluggard, at best, is inconsistent with spiritual things, reading the Word, prayer, scripture memory, going to church, investing in real deep relationships. He doesn't feel like doing it. It's too much work. And soon his spiritual life is overgrown with weeds and the walls are broken down. A sluggard is always up for another round of video games, another beer, another TV show, another nap, another book, another project in the basement, doing what he feels like doing instead of doing what he ought to be doing. He does what he wants to do without thinking about the future ramifications. Where do you see this in your own life? Where do you see it? Another characteristic of a sluggard here in Proverbs is that he starts a job, but he never finishes it. Starts a job, but he never finishes it. Here in Proverbs, we see that a sluggard has some ambition. He has desires, but he simply doesn't follow through on them. A sluggard has dreams. He makes plans. He starts projects. He has good intentions. He sees potential, but he never follows through to complete it. A sluggard starts a job, but he never finishes. Proverbs 12:27, the lazy man does not roast his game. This indicates that the sluggard actually went out and hunted. He did the hard work, yes, maybe the fun work of trying to get some food. But he brings the animal back. He doesn't clean it. He doesn't skin it. He doesn't butcher it. He doesn't do the work of making a fire and actually cooking it. And so it just sits there and rots. It goes to waste. He has ambition, but he doesn't carry it through to the end. Or Proverbs 13:4, the sluggard craves, he has passions, desires, but he gets nothing. He has dreams, he has desires, he thinks about things, he makes plans, but he doesn't do the hard work to follow through, to achieve those plans. He doesn't follow through. He talks about great things, but he doesn't follow through. Proverbs 19:24, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish, he will not even bring it back to his mouth. He starts the job, but he gets halfway and then he quits. It's not worth following through. It's easy to do this. It's easy to make plans. It's easy to dream. It's easy to see potential. It's easy to talk about all the things you want to accomplish. But it is hard to carry it on to completion. So the sluggard gives up. Men, I'm sorry to say this, and I'm speaking to myself, but a present-day sluggard starts a house project but never finishes it. A sluggard has kids, but at some point just gives up on the hard work of parenting. It's too hard. He likes to make kids, but he can't follow through and do the hard work of raising them. A sluggard commits himself to a woman in marriage. He loves the excitement of romance, the idea of unconditional love. But when he sees the real side of relationships, he checks out, gives up. A sluggard starts to deal with problems in his own life or in relationships, but, you know, after an hour, after a week, he gives up. It takes too much time. He avoids it again. It takes too much work to actually get through it. A sluggard thinks that biblical confrontation is a good thing until he actually has to do the hard work of carrying it out. And he delays it and it gets harder and harder to make that phone call to broach the topic. Or a sluggard commits to serving in various ways, but then isn't reliable and doesn't come through on his commitment. Sluggard starts a job, but doesn't see it to completion. A sluggard has ambitious goals, and he does them for a week and then sort of gives up. Instead of making small, achievable goals, he sets these impossible goals. He fails at them, and then nothing gets accomplished. I'm going to memorize all of Philippians next week, and Monday comes around, and it's overwhelming, so he stops. A sluggard starts a job, has great ambition, but he never finishes. What have you started? What have you started, but haven't finished? So a sluggard does what he feels like doing without considering the future consequences. A sluggard starts a job, but doesn't follow through. The third and final characteristic I want to touch on here from the book of Proverbs is that a sluggard is an expert at making excuses. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Proverbs 22:13. The sluggard says, there's a lion outside. There's a lion outside. I better stay inside. It's not safe out there. Or I'll be murdered in the streets. I better not go. There is no lion. There's no murderer in the streets. It's not real fear. It's just simply an excuse so that you can stay home. A sluggard makes excuses for all kinds of things. A few weeks ago, Alyssa and I were taking care of some kids, and one of them didn't want to go to school. And he came down one morning, he came to Alyssa, and he said that he was sick. And she asked, what's wrong? Thinking that he actually might be sick. And he said, the germs. The germs are crawling all over my arm. I'm not going to say who that is, but any excuse will do as long as I don't have to go to school. A sluggard turns back at the first sign of risk. If there's any risk of failure involved, if there's any risk of failure, then he's going to just back out. A guy won't do the hard work of pursuing a woman because there's too much risk involved. A sluggard will cling on to anything as an excuse in order to get out of doing what he ought to be doing. You know, I can't read my Bible today. Today's just too busy. It's not always like this. It's just too busy. I'll do it tomorrow. And you end up not cracking the Bible until 2 weeks later. Excuses. What excuses do you make for your own laziness? What excuses do you make to get out of what you're supposed to do? Are you a sluggard? Do you live in the moment without thinking about the future? Do you start a job and then leave it half done? And do you make excuses? This is the picture of laziness, the picture of the sluggard. Just moving along through life. What causes this? What is the root cause of this kind of lifestyle, this laziness? What makes us lazy? Laziness grows from a me-centered kind of thinking rather than a God-centered way of thinking. Laziness grows from thinking that life is all about my comfort and my pleasure. God exists to make my life comfortable rather than I exist to serve God. A sluggard thinks that God owes him these things. He owes him a comfortable and easy life. I deserve to take a break. I deserve to relax. I deserve luxury. I deserve to go out to eat. I deserve to buy my kids extravagant gifts. They deserve extravagant gifts that I can't afford. I deserve a big house or a nice car. I deserve to have an easy marriage. I don't want to have to work in this marriage. I deserve to have God take care of me, even if I squander everything that He's given to me. It's this me-centered perspective. And when we're consumed with ourselves, when we're at the center of our lives, then we turn into sluggards. That's the root, the root cause of laziness. And because of this perspective, a sluggard is enslaved with his laziness. It's all about him. Do you live with this me-centered perspective that life's all about you? Now, before we leave this portrait of a sluggard, we need to readily acknowledge that it's not wrong to play video games. It's not wrong to take a nap or to rest or to relax with friends or watch TV or to start a project in the basement. None of those things are wrong in themselves. But it's when we abuse these things that when they start to suck away our lives, our hours, and they keep us from doing what's really important. So don't go home feeling guilty about taking a nap now and again. Don't feel guilty about not allowing work to dominate your life. We're not to be sluggards, but we're also not to be workaholics. In fact, it's important to rest. It's important to sleep. It's important to take vacation, to take days off. It's very important to take advantage of the Lord's day. God has made us so that we need these things. These things aren't wrong, but it's a balance in life. As God's people, we are to strive for this balance. We are to strive to put off laziness and to strive to be diligent. So then, how do we move from laziness to diligence? How can we put off our sluggardly activity and live diligently for the glory of God? How can we travel down this road from laziness to diligence? Well, there's two things that we need to move down this road. First, we need a big, big vision. Big vision. And second, we need small, deliberate steps. Big vision and small steps. First, the big vision, the kingdom vision. As Christians, we have not simply been saved from hell, but we've been saved to serve in the everlasting kingdom of the great King. The Lord Jesus, who is God, became man in order to serve us. He came and suffered and died for us and saved us from our meaningless, miserable, hopeless life, as well as eternal hell. He gave us new life. And now He reigns over everything in heaven and on earth. All authority is His, and He has given us an important place in His creation. He's called us to work in His kingdom. He's called us to advance His kingdom here on earth. It's an incredible privilege, and it gives us an incredibly different picture or perspective on life, on our lives today. We aren't just waiting around until we go to heaven. We aren't just trying to keep busy until we go to heaven. Just as Dr. Gamble said this morning, we're not just to circle our wagons and wait for the end to come. We aren't to live this me-centered life until I go to heaven. But right now, right here on earth, we are called to live for something eternal, to live for the eternal King and for His kingdom. We are called to intentionally glorify Christ in every area of life. We seek to be faithful husbands and wives in order to point people to the great husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. We seek to be faithful parents, to be diligent with our kids so that we can point people to the great Father in heaven. We seek to be faithful workers. We're on time. We're diligent in every area of our work. We're seeking to go the extra mile to serve so that we can point people to the Creator who worked and made all things. God who sustains all things. We seek to be good students so that we can see God's glory in everything and then point other people to that. Point it out to others. Everything is to be done for the glory of God, to advance the kingdom of Christ. As Christians, nothing we do can be me-centered any longer. This means that you have to rethink every area of your life. The only reason you take a nap or watch a game on TV or play video games is if you are seeking the glory of God. If you're not doing that, then you're being lazy. If it's for some other motive, then you're being lazy. You take a nap, resting in His care so that you can better serve Him maybe in the afternoon. You play video games and relax and get your mind off of things so that you can do some other things better. You enjoy vacation to rejuvenate your mind and your body and your soul so that you can serve Him better. You brush your teeth. You exercise. You take care of your body so that you can show the world how God has intended us to take care of our bodies as temples of God. There is a purpose now behind everything that we do. And so we can't just squander any minute of the day. We've been called into the service of the King. Everything is to be done for the glory of God, for the glory of Christ. That is our focus. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I read Romans chapter 12, verse 11. It says, "Never be lacking in zeal," or "Do not be lazy in diligence, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." Don't be lazy, but boil over with zeal. That's what fervor means. Its root meaning is boiling over. Boil over with zeal, serving the Lord. Be eager to serve, thinking and rethinking about how you can do it better. I want you to think about the difference between an entrepreneur and a hired worker. An entrepreneur invests his life to make the business work. His money, his time, he's eager to see the business succeed. His mind is always thinking about and rethinking about how it can be done better, how it should be improved, what needs to change. A hired worker, on the other hand, just sort of puts in his time. He punches the clock. He goes home. He tries to forget about what he did that day. Oftentimes, we live too much like hired hands. Just sort of getting through life, just putting in our time, passing the time until we die. And we're not really investing ourselves in the kingdom. This is the life of a sluggard. We're not hired hands. We are entrepreneurs, always thinking and rethinking about how to live this life better for Christ, how to serve Him in every area of life, from the small things to the great big things. From how I sneeze to how I do politics. From how I walk to how I run a million-dollar business. We're working for the King, advancing His eternal kingdom. This is the big vision, and sometimes this is where we stop. We go home, and the vision is in our minds, but then it slowly fades. And life doesn't actually change. We can't stop here at the big vision. That's why we need big vision with small steps. Small steps is what takes us towards that goal, that kingdom. What small steps can you take tonight or tomorrow so that you don't fall into laziness again? What small steps will you take so that you can diligently, zealously serve God? We can't go home and just get back into the same pattern. What's a small step that you can take in your quiet times? Discipline yourself here. I will read for 5 minutes. I will pray for 5 minutes each morning before I start my day so I can be reminded of this big vision of the King and of His kingdom. I will not squander my time with my family in front of the TV, but I will interact with them. I will spend time with my husband or my wife. I will not complain about my boss to my coworkers, but I will encourage him. And I will not try to get out of work, but I will try to go the extra mile. And you can think of specific things. I will not be late to work. I will maybe finish this project this month or get this far this month. Small steps, goals, attainable, measurable goals, they are very important. If we only have the vision without the small steps, then we aren't going to move any closer to achieving the vision. If we have goals but no vision, then it's going to be just drudgery. You have to keep the vision and take small steps. Never be lazy in diligence, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. As God's chosen people, we have been saved, redeemed, forgiven of our laziness. We have been lazy, a lazy people, not doing things that we ought to be doing. Maybe we're working a lot, but we're not actually doing what ought to be done. We're lazy people, and we recognize that, and we fall on our knees, resting on God for His mercy and forgiveness, and He forgives. You're the forgiven people of God. That weight of guilt, of laziness, is now lifted off your shoulders. Now, set your sights on that vision and start to take small steps. Jonathan Edwards was a great theologian, maybe the greatest American theologian. He was a man of great vision. He was also a man of small steps, practical goals. In his late teens, he wrote out 70 resolutions, goals that he was going to live by. They actually seem like some pretty big steps. Some of them are pretty big steps. But he set out to take these steps. And one of those resolutions, I think, was based on Romans 12, verse 11. This is what he wrote. Resolved to live with all my might while I live. Resolved to live with all my might while I live. To live with eagerness for the glory of God. To set your eyes on that vision and to take steps towards that. To live with all my might while I live. Not lazy in diligence, but full of fervor, boiling over with zeal, serving the Lord. Are you resolved to live with all your might while you live? Are you resolved to live with eagerness and zeal and fervor for the glory of God, for the glory of the King, for the advancement of His kingdom? Are you eager to do this every moment of the day? This is what we're called to do as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Be diligent, fervently serving the Lord, and may God be glorified. Let's pray.